In the name of our Lord Jesus, who graciously and generously gives us more than we could ever deserve. Amen. There is an old story, actually a fable, about a hermit, a monk, a man who had dedicated his life to solitude and holiness in the wilderness, dedicating himself to prayer and spiritual discipline. But there were a number of demons who took upon themselves this man as a project to cause him to stumble into temptation and sin. And they tried all the tactics that they could, the lusts of the flesh, fears, doubts of his faith. But to no avail, this man held firm and did not submit to temptation. All the while, the devil was supervising his underlings, and he became frustrated with their failed efforts. And so he said, "You use such crude efforts, I'll show you how it's done." The devil then approached this pious hermit, and he placed his mouth to the man's ear and said, "Say, have you heard the news? It's big news. Your brother, you know, the one you went to seminary with, your brother has just been promoted to be bishop." And with that, a scowl of malignant jealousy clouded the once serene face of this monk. He couldn't resist the sin of jealousy. We too are vulnerable to this sin of jealousy, even within the church, even within our brothers. Now, I would not regard myself ordinarily as a jealous person. If someone else succeeds in business or government or commerce or the service sector, if he or she succeeds in music or the arts, sports, I'm happy for them. But if you come to me and start singing the praises of another preacher, or if you talk about how this other professor is the best teacher you've ever had, I feel threatened there. Or if you start praising another pastor on the other side of town and his congregation that's flourishing so much more than the congregation I serve, ouch. Because that's my turf, and I feel threatened. And I'm inclined to become that preacher or that teacher or that pastor's critic. Jealousy. It's an age-old problem among God's people. We read about it in our Old Testament reading from 3,500 years ago. And it's with us today. So let's consider this sin of jealousy, and then its solution, and how God desires us to be, and how God makes us, creates us to be in Christ. First of all, this sin of jealousy. What is it? I went to Webster's dictionary and found this definition for jealous: to be protective of one's privilege and resentful of perceived rivals. To be protective of one's privilege, of one's own turf, and resentful of those that we perceive might be threatening that privileged position and status. We read about such jealousy in our Old Testament reading for today from Numbers chapter 11. The setting is as follows. Moses is leading the children of Israel through the wilderness after the Exodus. And as he's doing so, they become increasingly irritable. They complain, they gripe, they whine. And Moses is getting burned out because he's the one leader, and there's like 2 million people here that he's leading, that he's serving as the pastor for. And he begins to be discouraged. He even is approaching the brink of clergy burnout here. He says, "God, take me. I can't take it anymore." God graciously then provides for Moses. He says, Moses, gather 70 elders and bring them to the tent of meeting, and then I will put upon them the same spirit that I've put upon you, that Holy Spirit, so that they can prophesy and be marked out as leaders as well. And so this burden, this task will be distributed. The labor will be shared with others. Well, this happens. The Holy Spirit is given to these 70 elders. They prophesy, and things seem pretty good. Except, for some reason, there were two elders who were not part of this group summoned by Moses, Eldad and Medad. They were still out there in the camp. And the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they too began to prophesy. They were marked out as leaders, even though they weren't part of Moses' choosing here. When Joshua, who is Moses' right-hand man, his aide, his associate pastor, hears of this, he comes to Moses and says, Moses, stop them! Stop Eldad and Medad! Apparently, Joshua felt threatened by their leadership. Threatened for Moses, threatened for himself as Moses' aide. And Moses diagnosed Joshua's attitude here. He says, Joshua, are you jealous? Are you jealous for my sake? Jealousy here. The attitude that I've got to protect my privilege, my turf, from perceived rivals from the outside. Well, I've done some analyzing of this condition of jealousy to see what is its root source. And what I think the root source of jealousy is, it really comes to an understanding of God, an attitude, a persuasion about God. And it's the persuasion that God is unfair. Unfair to my detriment. I mean, I'm his faithful servant. I've worked hard for him. And he unfairly blesses someone else, gives them privileges, and not to me. That's unfair, God. It happens to us. I know it happens to students. You have a classmate, and this classmate goes to class but doesn't take a note. He hardly cracks open his textbooks. Doesn't put in any effort, it seems. And yet when he goes to take the test, he practically aces it. And there you are, struggling and striving, working hard, and you can practically get a B average. God, that's not fair. How could you give him so many gifts more than me? Believe me, also, when you get into the parish, there is the temptation of jealousy. I felt that temptation, submitted to it, I have to confess, many times. For example, your associate pastor, he comes and, wow, he's got such great gifts. And then you hear your parishioners singing his praises. Oh, what a great preacher he is. What a great teacher he is. Oh, he's got such a good people personality. And you feel, but what about me? And you think, God, how could you have gifted him so much compared to me? Or you hear about the pastor of a sister congregation. And that pastor has so many gifts of leadership and can motivate the lay people and mobilize them, and the church is flourishing, especially compared to your church. God, how could you bless him more than me? Or you look at another pastor and you see he's got a full head of hair, and you say, God, how could you bless him more than me? This is the root cause of jealousy. We think God is unfair to our detriment. And only God is the one who is able to change that kind of mindset. It takes a change of mind, a metanoia, and he is the one who can work that. We give thanks that God does that. And he does that amazingly enough, through a message that in one way is very similar to the root cause of jealousy, but in another way, worlds apart. It's the persuasion that God is indeed unfair. Blessedly unfair. Because in jealousy, I think God is unfair to my detriment. But when I hear his message of the gospel, I see that he is unfair to my ultimate blessing and good. God indeed is unfair. Because what we deserve, what is fair for us, is condemnation, judgment, hell. We confess that every week in the common confession of sin. I deserve nothing but eternal or temporal and eternal punishment. And yet, by his grace and his generosity in Jesus Christ, what does God give us? Not what we deserve, but he gives us forgiveness. Forgiveness for all of our sins, our sinful condition, the sinful acts that we commit, actual sins, including the sin of jealousy. He gives us the gifts of life and salvation, eternal life, heaven itself. Oh, we don't deserve that. We deserve the opposite of that. God is blessedly, graciously unfair to us. And it's all because he was eminently, ultimately unfair to himself. In the person of Jesus Christ, God, who is holy, righteous, sinless, perfect, took upon himself our condemnation for our unholiness, unrighteousness, sinfulness, imperfection, and suffered it fully on the cross when he died, that capital D death, when he was even damned for our sake. That is the supreme unfairness in the history of this creation. But God did it for us. He is a generous, gracious, giving God who gives and gives and lives to give. And as he gives of his gracious good gifts in Christ, we receive them in faith and we are content. God has given his all, so how can I be jealous for more? As Romans 8 says, he who did not spare even his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not freely with Jesus graciously give us all things that we need, especially what we need most of all, those gifts of forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation? They're ours. But many more gifts in addition to that. And he gives various gifts to various people. We receive those gifts, rejoice in them, and then rejoice in the gifts, even different gifts, that God gives to other people. And when that happens, God transforms our jealousy to zealousness. No longer jealous, but zealous. Zealous for him and his work. The work he does through me, the work he does through you, the work he does through others in the various gifts that he gives them. We rejoice in those. That's what we see in our text with Moses. Joshua was jealous. Moses, tell Eldad and Medad to stop. But Moses was zealous. Oh, would that the Lord would pour out his Spirit on all God's people in order that they might prophesy. May this kind of attitude be ours as well, as we see anew the gracious generosity of God, who gives us far more than we deserve, who gives us the opposite of what we deserve. And as that happens, he transforms us from jealous to zealous. There's a very little difference between those two words in spelling, just one letter, a world of difference in meaning. And we thank God that God has made the difference in our lives. Amen.